Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Excellent, excellent. It's awesome to be here in God's house, yes? Awesome. Well, you're coming on stage, you're probably thinking, a t-shirt? Really, Steve? I mean, most times we speak up here, we got a little collar, tucked in action, untucked, just different things. T-shirt, what's going on with that? Well, this t-shirt is intentional today because this is a t-shirt I received about 6 weeks ago. It says, Start With Hello. Start Hello was the theme with an annual conference about six weeks ago, called Together We Stand. It's an annual conference for educators. I'm an educational leader by trade, and this conference gets together educational leaders, community leaders, teachers, students. And the whole idea within Pasco County Schools is to learn about creating positive culture within Pasco County Schools. The whole idea is to create a positive culture that is intentional about starting relationships. That was the theme, Start With Hello. And you see, Together We Stand has a goal of helping people who are isolated know that someone cares. Okay, that's a good goal. It's about building a positive community where people know that they are valued and loved. And the moment I heard that, I had an immediate thought, you know, if the world can have that conversation, why isn't the church? This sounds like a job for the church. And don't get me wrong, I'm glad that schools are talking about these ideas, but it sounds like a job for the church because we are the one called to bring hope. We are the one called to bring love to a world that's hurting and lacking hope. We are the one called to bring practical help that paves the way for eternal hope. So what do we do about this? Well, it's easy. We're going to start off just like the shirt says. Step one, start with hello. So hello, my name is Steve Williams. I'm a bit of an introvert, and so relationships don't always come naturally to me. But today I'm excited about what God is going to teach us from his word about what it means to start with hello. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much for who you are and what you've already done in this service. Holy Spirit, we believe that you are here and you're already speaking. God, we pray that you would open your word and that you would speak truth that we are going to hear individually and as a body of Christ. We love you, God, and we give you all the honor and the praise and the glory. Amen. So the concept of start with hello is built on this idea that it's important to start relationships. It's important to take the step forward to start relationships. And I'll be honest, like I said a moment ago, this is a challenge for me. It's not something that comes easy. As an introvert, I don't have this external charisma that just looks to start relationships with everybody I meet. If I'll be honest with you, there's this bit of fear of doing that. And I think some of us have that same fear. And so this has been a challenge for me. And so what we're going to unpack today is not something that I'm speaking out of my strength. It's something I'm speaking out of growth and what the passages of scripture that we're going to look at have said to me. So this idea of starting relationships, this idea of building intentional connections and that relationships matter. Is that important in schools? Yeah, it is. But it's also important in the kingdom of God. How do we know that? Well, Jesus said in Mark chapter 12 that all of faith gets boiled down to these two things. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. That's that vertical piece. And he said, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the horizontal piece. And that's where we get the idea of know God, make him known, make disciples. It's on the flags in the parking lot when you pulled in. This idea that relationships matter. In fact, they matter quite a lot. Because relationships have the power to change our community. Think about this. If we really, intentionally, purposely went out of our way to build connections, and in relationships, the impact on our world would be intense. Think about if we just love people with 1% of the love God showed us, our community would never be the same. God has rained down this love upon us, and we take that, and so often we fear to make the connection outside. We love to live in that vertical. I want to know God more. I want to worship him. I want to get in my Bible. Love others. Make disciples. It's painful, right? But I just want to love God. I just want to know Him more. Step outside my comfort zone? No thanks. But this idea that relationships matter is something that we can't get away from. Because Jesus said there's two things. One's horizontal and one is vertical, and you cannot ignore either one. You see, when intentional, purposeful, built connections and relationships, three things happen. And if you're taking notes, these are fill in the blank. When we intentionally build purposeful relationships, number one, it helps people know they are loved and valued. It helps people know that they are loved and valued. And let's be honest, this is a huge issue in our culture. Because there is this lie that culture tells that we are insufficient and we are broken and we are not loved and we are not valuable. In fact, you can see it in this hot button topic that I as an educator hear all the time, and this idea is bullying. In fact, that's one of the reasons that Together We Stand was first created, because this is such an issue in our culture. Now, there's a lot of definitions of that word, and I'll be honest with you, most of us have conflicting definitions of that word, but it really boils down to one word, and that is this: intimidated. Intimidating others because they don't feel loved and valued. It's a power struggle where someone tries to assert their power over somebody else. Intimidation. But how can we be intimidated when we know who we are in Christ? How can we be intimidated when we know that we are children of the Most High God? If we unpack what the Bible says about who we are in Christ, how in the world can we be intimidated? That's the message of the church. You are loved and you are valued. We don't have time to dive into that today, but in Go Deeper this week, I would encourage you to check it out, because in Go Deeper, we're really going to unpack that. Who are we in Christ? What does the Bible say about our role as children of God? And how would that impact our intentional relationships and our ability to be intimidated? You see, it's our job as a church to help people know they are special, they are valuable, and they are loved. That is a message that is sorely lacking in our culture, and it's our job as a church to help people know that. Point number two, when we intentionally, purposefully create and build connections and relationships, people in the community see God's love through us, and that spurs life change. When people come to experience it and they look face to face with love through us, that spurs life change. You see, love is best seen when it's tangible. See, we can say, you know, from the corner, God loves you. Hey, will you help feed my kid? No, I'm good. God loves you. Hey, I need healing. Oh, God loves you. But we don't bring practical help. We don't have those relationships. It doesn't show through. You see, we believe here at North Point that practical help paves the way for us to share eternal hope. Practical help, tangible love, is what the world is looking for. And it paves the way for us to be able to share eternal hope. There's somebody in each of our circles of influence that needs to know that God loves them. There's somebody. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's a coworker. Somebody needs to know that God loves them. Because what happens is that God's love brings life change. When people come face to face with God's love, when they start to realize that the King of the universe loves them as an individual, when they begin to drop the facade and they know that, hey, there is a God who loves me, it brings life change. And as people begin to grow in their faith, they begin to grow as individuals, they begin to walk in faith, and they start to join the kingdom of God in the pursuit of God and loving others. The kingdom of God begins to expand, and we start to meet on Sunday mornings, and we start to learn what it is to know a loving God, and we also start to learn the importance of loving others. And that's point number three, is it builds strength in the kingdom of God. When we build intentional, purposeful commitments, connections, relationships, begins to strengthen the kingdom of God, because we begin to form those relationships inside as well. We get stronger. We have the opportunity to serve and to use our gifts. And as the kingdom of God expands, so expands our ability to love even more people. So expands our ability to bring practical help to even more people. Do you see how it's a cycle? It's our job to help people know that they are loved and valued. And as they get that, as they see God's tangible love in their lives, that spurs life change. And as life change happens, people begin to grow. The kingdom of God grows. Our ability to love expands. It's a cycle. It's powerful. And we see an example of this in Acts. As I began to think about this, as I began to pray about this, I said, God, I see this all throughout Scripture. Help us to know what is it, the Scripture, that we need to dive into today. And so if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn with me to Acts. And the first 8 chapters are where we're going to get into. We don't have time, obviously, to go into all of them, all 8 chapters. But I want to give you a basic overview, and I would encourage you this week to go and read the first 8 chapters of Acts, especially 2-8. Because what you'll see is a growing kingdom of God that is based on love and relationships. Check it out. Let me give you a little bit of background. See, this is the birth of the church in Jerusalem, the spread of the gospel. Growth is happening all over the place in individuals, in the church, in the community. For those who aren't familiar with the story, it picks up with Jesus died, he rose again, and he ascended back into heaven, and he told his followers, go and wait for the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to show you the next step. And unfortunately, like many modern Christians do, they huddle together with people they know, and they hid until the Holy Spirit rocked their world. And their hearts changed, and they began to go out into the community and form relationships. Let's pick it up, because what happened next is amazing. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized, and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, connections, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, relationship, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had, connection, relationship, community. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple every day, together. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You start to see this growth of the kingdom. And Acts continues, and they begin to share the good news, and they begin to speak in public, and they begin to connect as a community. Large groups, one-on-one, small groups, on and on and on it happened. And you start to see these one-on-one relationships. In fact, there's an incredible story in Acts 3 and 4 where Peter and John, they heal this beggar. And we don't have time to dig into that story today, but I do want to have a side note. That is a great example of how bullying doesn't work when people understand who they are in Christ. Because what you have here is Peter and John standing and believing in their heart who they are, who God said they are. And there are some who are in authority that try to assert their power over them, and that doesn't work out so well because they believe who they are in Jesus. Don't have time to go there. But if you're looking for a great chapter, if you've heard about bullying, you know about it, read Acts chapters 3 and 4. But we're going to fast forward to chapter 6, verse 7. Where it said, the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of priests became obedient to the faith. I want to take just a moment to kind of look at two words that we just read. The first one said added, and the next one said multiplied. How in the world, is there a little bit of difference there? Yeah, there is. Because you see in Acts two different kinds of ways of sharing the good news. Number one, in whole groups, sermons. And that was effective, and those were added to the kingdom. But now you start to see multiplied, and what we look into this is that sermons can add to the kingdom, but relationships multiply it. And what you start to see here is the kingdom of God being added to and multiplied to and growing, and it's incredible. And then, boom, we run into chapter 7. And there is what should be a terrible, awful experience that causes the end of the movement. There is a great leader. His name is Stephen. I think it's very appropriate that we look at Stephen because here at North Point, we have a lot of Steves. Maybe that's a different sermon series. But in Acts chapter 7, you see this guy get up and he's boldly proclaiming the good news. And these authorities can't stand it anymore. And they said, no, we're going to assert our power over you. And so they begin to stir up the crowd and they stone Stephen and they kill him. And that should be the end because that's terrible news. And it was. But here's another example of someone trying to assert authority, trying to intimidate. And the body of Christ says no. Now, did it hurt? Yes. Did it disrupt? Yes. But what we found is the Holy Spirit could take that and do amazing things. Because what we find is the believers scatter. Now, they begin to scatter in fear, but then God said, no, let me turn that around. Let me flip the script and tell you how I'm going to expand my kingdom. You see, everybody began to go out, and they began to form connections, and they began to go into the different parts of the world, Northern Africa, into Greece, into Asia Minor, all over the place. They began to form relationships. They began to form connections. And the kingdom of God began to multiply like never before. And so enters into the story a guy named Philip in Acts chapter 8. And this is where we're going to spend most of our time today. Acts chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, turn. Because Philip goes to Samaria. It's an area that most Jews were like, no, I'm good. I don't want to go there. But Philip goes to Samaria and he begins to share the gospel. And joy begins to spread throughout the city. But then something incredible happens. In verse 26, we're going to pick it up. Verse 26, join me if you will. It says, as for Philip, the angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship and is now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk beside the carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. What a powerful example of an intentional connection, a relationship that Philip got to have with this guy. And in this passage, we learn three things that can teach us about forming relationships. Because so many of us are scared. I know I am. I'm scared to go to that unfamiliar person. I'm scared to go to that person that I don't think may receive me well. But in this passage, we learn three things that have helped me, and I hope they help you. If you're taking notes, these are fill in the blanks, three lessons from Philip. Number one, listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and be obedient. Philip began his relationship in three ways. Number one, listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and be obedient. Who is the Holy Spirit calling you to? Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the person that the Holy Spirit has put in your circle of influence? And he's wanting you to reach out. He's wanting you to form a connection. Maybe it's your next door neighbor. For so many of us, we drive up, we hit the button in our car, the garage door opens, we go in, we hit the button, the door closes, we don't have to talk to anyone in the neighborhood. We go and we walk our dog, and our neighbor is mowing their lawn, we cross the street. Don't want to talk to that guy. For some of us, it's people at work, people maybe who rub us the wrong way. People we have to be around, and we think of it as have to be around, but the Holy Spirit says, what if you get to be around them? What if I have a purpose for this relationship? It's listening to the Holy Spirit because he has someone intentional. Maybe it's somebody who's in this room right now, somebody who was sitting a few rows back. You walked in, you noticed them, but I didn't want to say hello. Maybe the Holy Spirit has someone intentional for you, and we need to be obedient, and we need to listen. Lesson number two from Philip, He began his relationship by observing what the other person was doing. What are the people around you doing? What are the people around you interested in? Maybe it's football, maybe it's crochet, maybe it's dogs, maybe it's memes. What are the people around you interested in? What are they doing? And the neat thing about this story is the Holy Spirit had already been working in this eunuch's life. He'd already been doing things. So Philip didn't have to come with this grand plan and I got to start the conversation. He just observed what he was doing. He was obedient to the Holy Spirit and he watched what he was doing. And that began the relationship. Because that's the third one, and this is the one that's speaking to me the most. He asked a question to start the relationship. He said, hello, hey, do you know what you're reading? He asked a question. You see, he didn't barge in and start talking and pushing his agenda and say, now listen to me, you got to listen to the Bible. He asked a question because he saw that the Holy Spirit was working and he saw his on-ramp and he asked a question. What I love is that he waited a long time. He waited for the right time. He's just walking along the carriage. He didn't barge in and push his agenda. And the neat thing is that life change occurred that day. And we know that because the eunuch asked to be baptized. And even when Philip was moved out of the situation, he went on rejoicing. His heart changed that day. What a neat opportunity when Philip was obedient and observant and began with a question. Now, the story of Acts continues. We don't have time to stay there to read through the whole thing, but you begin to see this idea that a dozen people became hundreds, and 100 people became thousands, and thousands of people become millions, and today, 2,000 years later, it is spread around the globe, all because people were obedient and connected and had relationships. Some of you are thinking, okay, Steve, that still seems a little too far from my experience. So we're going to do an activity this morning to illustrate this. Let's take a deep breath. It's okay. And I asked three volunteers to come up and join me on stage. So, ladies, I'm going to ask you to come up here. And we're going to play a game called the kindness virus. All right? We played this at Together We Stand, and when I saw it, I went, boom, that's a picture of the church. This is how it works. We've got three volunteers up here. And the goal today is to get everybody in this room standing. Okay? But no cheating, because you can only stand when somebody comes and gives you either a high five or a fist bump. All right, so you can only stand when somebody gives you a high five or a fist bump. Now, once you stand, you can either stay standing or you can go out and give high fives and fist bumps. Totally up to you. Totally up to you. But we want to see how fast we can get everybody standing. No cheating. You can't stand until a high five or fist bump. That makes sense? You guys got it? All right, go. And done. That took less than 30 seconds. It was so interesting to watch this happen because it didn't just happen from the front back. It didn't just happen from the sides in. But as three went out, it could really easily have been three and they each just took a section and they marched all the way down. But that didn't happen. Some of you stood up and you're like, I'm good. Some of you said, no, I'm part of this. And what began to happen is you saw pockets, and where maybe a family decided, you know what, we're in this. We're going to be a part of this. Suddenly that whole part of the room began to stand. And you saw pockets seated and pockets standing. But what you found was the more people involved, the faster it grew. It's the same in the kingdom of God. The more of us say, yes, I'm going to start with hello. I'm going to form intentional, purposeful relationships. Suddenly the kingdom of God begins to spread throughout the community. And nobody could tell where it's going except the Holy Spirit. So what do we do with that? Well, it's pretty simple. We start with hello. We begin to build relationships. We begin to look to see who God has in our circle of influence. For some of you, It's someone in this room today. When you're walking out, you're going to see someone seem kind of alone. You walk up and say, "Hello, my name is Steve." Yes, there's a lot of Steve, so that statistically works pretty well. But you're going to find somebody maybe in the cafe. You don't recognize their face. You know, North Point has been growing so exponentially that it's easy to see someone's face and you're like, "I don't recognize your face. How long have you been coming?" 12 months. Because we're not creating connections. We're not walking up to the unfamiliar faces, beginning to build a relationship. Because it starts here. We've got to connect here. And so we go into the cafe, we go into the lobby. For some of us, you're going to go out to lunch and you're going to see somebody sitting there all alone. And God's going to prompt you and say, "Hey, go say hello." Are we going to be obedient? For some of us, it's that neighbor that you've just been dragging your feet. Don't want to talk to that guy. But God is intentionally calling you to a relationship this morning. You go up to them and you start with hello. Now, I am not saying you need to be best friends with everybody, all right? As an introvert, I can't handle that, all right? I just cannot handle being deep BFFs with everybody. But God will determine how deep the relationship needs to go. We simply need to be obedient. We trust that God will take us where he wants us, but we start with hello. Now, you're probably listening to me and saying, "Steve, that doesn't sound very complicated." And the reality is it isn't. It's not complicated, but if we were real with ourselves, we would admit that it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen because if it did, we wouldn't have a bullying issue in our culture. Because if it did, we wouldn't have identity crisis in our world. We would love people, and we wouldn't run into people who don't know that they're loved. Everyone in our community would have tangible examples of God's love, and everyone in our church would be in strong, small groups that go out into the community and love others. Life change would happen. The community would be transformed, and yet something is stopping us. What stops us from doing that? I'll tell you, for me, it's hard. I acknowledge that there's a tension some people call the knowing-doing gap. It's the difference between knowing that I'm supposed to do it and actually stepping out and doing it. And what creates that tension? What is the thing that just keeps me back here? Well, let's examine that by talking about what breaks the tension. What breaks the tension is when what compels us is bigger than what stops us. Tension is broken when what compels us is bigger than what stops us. And you can see that all throughout the book of Acts. The good news of the gospel is stronger than the fear that was keeping them back. And things begin to change when what compels us is bigger than what stops us. Now, that, of course, begs the question, what compels us and what stops us? Well, as a follower of Jesus, it all boils down to love. Love compels us. You see, we've experienced God's love. We've seen life change in ourselves and in those around us. We know that God wants us to love. And we know that God's love has such potential. Love compels us, but there's something that stops us. And there are a lot of reasons, many of them legitimate. Some of them are just excuses, but they're real. For some of us, well, they're just so different than me. I'm no one special. I mean, what if they don't like me? What if I sound dumb or I just don't have time? But really, all of those reasons boil down to one word, and that's fear. So we have fear versus love. It's a tension that we all grapple with, fear versus love. It's been happening ever since the first century. But if we learn anything from them, it's this. When the urgency and the power of what's in us outweighs the fear of taking action, we move from knowing to doing. When what's in us compels us, we need to move. We need to take action. How do we do that? Well, we start with hello. There's some practical things in the back of your bulletin. You're going to read those and you're going to be like, "That's so easy." And it's not hard, but many times we just don't do it. And because we don't do it, my friends, there are serious consequences. Because of that choice, because of that fear, We have major problems in the universal church. We create silos and we create cliques. We begin to lack the power of a cohesive body of Christ. And in our community, people all around us become isolated because they don't hear that there's a God who loves them. They don't know that they are valued and special. People begin to get isolated and they listen to dark influences and they begin to make poor choices. We don't make an impact, and the potential for life change just doesn't happen. The bottom line is intentional, loving relationships matter. They matter a lot. And that can change the world, so we need to take one step, and that's start with hello. The most important word in this phrase is not hello. It's start, because the first step is the hardest. And at some point in this room, at some point in your day, God is going to intersect you with someone. In a moment, the prayer team is going to come up. And I'm going to challenge you to begin to pray and ask God, God, who is that person you want me to form a relationship with today? Who is that person that you want me to reach out to and start with hello? I encourage you, if you've been grappling with that, come forward, come to the back corner. There's somebody who will pray with you. And begin to pray through that tension. Because on one hand, there's fear. On the other hand, there's love. A few moments ago, we sang a song, and the chorus had everything to do with fear and love. And as we prepared to wrap up this service, we wrote a third verse to this song. And as we close today, I'm going to ask Chris and the worship team to come back on stage, and we're going to sing that song one more time. But now with the third verse, and it says this. When fear keeps me away from those unknown, when doubt blocks me from those he calls his own, while love offers to be my cornerstone, oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. You see, for many of us, we say, yeah, I know, Steve, I know love. Love should be what compels me, but my love's not strong enough. I can't overcome my fear. Well, my friends, we don't have to stand in our love because we have the opportunity to stand in Christ's love. We have the opportunity to say, God, I need your love to move through me. And that can break through tension. You know why? Because you're not going to meet anybody today that Jesus doesn't love enough to die for. Every single person that comes across your path today, Jesus loved them enough to die for. So we can stand in that love and allow that love to compel us. And we don't have to let fear stop us. When fear keeps me away from those unknown, when doubt blocks me from those he calls his own, and when love offers to be my cornerstone, oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. Stand with me and let's ask God to come and to teach us who it is he wants us to love today. And to put action to that belief. Father, we're so thankful for who you are today. God, we're so thankful that your love for us has transformed our lives. Your love for us has made life go from darkness to light. Your love for us has taken us places we never thought possible. And God, we want to get to know you more, but as we're filled, God, push us to go out and to share that love with those around us. Push us to be filled with your love so much that what compels us is your love. And what compels us is stronger than the fear that holds us back. Oh God, teach us who it is you want us to connect with today. And may your kingdom expand, not for our glory, but for yours. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus.